Lesson 7. Acknowledge love and fear. Did you know that love and fear are the two principal states of mind when it comes to conflict? And what we are usually most afraid of is that other people do not love and respect us enough. Does that sound too amazing to be true? Here's a big question. Think of a conflict or dispute, either current or one from the past. What is or was the thing that you feared most? Here are some of the things that people most fear. Honesty, truth, anger, pain, loss of face. I just wrote a blog called Wayne Rooney and the Lost Face. Death, freedom, closure, change. Most of these fears are unspoken and unnamed, and therefore get in the way and create blocks to resolution. For example, many people fear the freedom to be able to decide for themselves rather than to be told what to do. Others fear change, having to accept or learn a new way of doing things. A great deal of fear arises from the fear of loss of love of others or from the inability to love oneself. For example, if you are afraid of loss of face, what you may really fear is that others will lose respect and therefore love for you. In the book, we come across a CEO called Godfrey, who continually belittles and embarrasses and patronises Fiona, the only female director of the company. Godfrey talks about himself, his achievements, his wealth and his possessions at every opportunity. We also find Godfrey the night after a dinner party in trouble with his wife Deirdre because he's drunk too much and tried to impress the female guests with stories of his youthful escapades. Godfrey has upset both his fellow director Fiona and his wife Deirdre. So, what's love got to do with it? Why might love and fear be at the heart of both of these conflicts? Well, Fiona is angry with Godfrey, but she is also scared. She's scared that her fellow directors do not think highly enough of her or respect her achievements. Behind his bullying facade, Godfrey is also worried. He is worried that Fiona is smarter than he is and that he will be shown up as a weak CEO unless he emphasises his higher status. And Deirdre is furious, but she is also jealous of the attention that Godfrey was paying to the other female guests at dinner. Jealousy is also a form of fear, because you're afraid that you are inferior to other people. In order to stand the best possible chance of achieving deep and lasting resolution of a conflict or dispute, it's important to discover and acknowledge people's deep-seated fears. Sometimes this is too painful and can only be done with the help of a third party, mediator, coach or counsellor. In the workbook, you'll find an exercise where you can begin exploring your own fears and concerns. And if you get stuck, you can ask someone you trust to help you. So in the workbook, there's a table, and these are the questions it asks you. What do you fear or worry about most? If you could name your fear, what would you call it? Where does this fear come from? If you have to confront and overcome this fear, how will you do it? And what might happen if others knew and understood your fear? So, how do you feel about yourself? No, I mean it, how do you feel about yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you respect yourself? So why is this important in helping us to understand conflict? Here's why. Our sense of self determines whether we interpret a disagreement with a colleague as a deliberate attempt to undermine us or as simply a misunderstanding to be resolved. Self-esteem is your emotional opinion of yourself, how you feel about yourself as a person. Job title, paycheck, or social standing are external proofs of importance, but they are not the real source of anyone's self-esteem. People with weak self-esteem often exaggerate or cling to external proofs to compensate for lack of self-esteem. Whereas people with strong self-esteem feel far less vulnerable to the negative opinions of others and are less likely to end up in unnecessary conflict. All of us fall somewhere on a scale between being approval-driven at one end, where we have a high need for recognition and are driven by the approval of others, to being self-actualised at the other, where we both realise and appreciate our potential and abilities. Where we fall on this scale will depend on a number of factors. such as the impact of relationships with our parents, siblings, teachers, mentors, coaches, and so on. Some days your self-esteem will be higher than others. Answering the following questions may help to give you a sense of your own self-esteem. Do you take things personally when criticised? Do you worry about what others think of you? Do you make excuses if things go wrong? Do you accept yourself the way you are? Do you find it easy to express your thoughts and opinions? Do you believe you can handle anything? Do you feel comfortable with change? There's no right or wrong answer to these questions, but if you tend to be more on the approval-driven end of the scale, you're much more likely to fear rejection, to take things personally, and to worry about what others think of you. You may also be inclined to make excuses if things go wrong rather than accept the blame and apologise. On the other hand, if you tend to be more on the self-actualised end of the scale, you're much more likely to accept yourself as you are and less likely to take things personally because you fear rejection or disapproval. You will feel comfortable dealing with challenges and expressing your own thoughts and opinions. Which sounds most like you? It's worth remembering that every other person that you meet or deal with is, to some extent, seeking acceptance and approval. The extent to which they are approval-driven is not something you can see or they can tell you, but their behaviour and reactions will be an indicator. The key principle to remember is that every person that you meet is seeking the answer to two important questions. Number one, do I matter? And number two, am I heard? If, in our communications with others, we feel that our needs, interests, fears and concerns have been acknowledged and understood, then we will sense that we do matter and that we have been heard. When this happens, we're much more likely to cooperate with others in resolving any problem or conflict. If, on the other hand, we feel that our needs, interests, fears and concerns have not been acknowledged and understood, we will sense that we do not matter and that we are not heard. When this happens, we may sabotage any attempts to resolve any problem or conflict. So, to summarise what we've learnt in this lesson, we've learnt that love and fear are at the heart of most conflicts, that knowing this can help us understand what may be motivating our own or others' reactions or behaviour, that learning to give love, respect, care and attention to others, even when you are in disagreement, can make a difference. So remember, people in conflict are longing for a sign that they are loved and respected, and for us to show them that as fellow humans they matter and we care. In order to be happy, to have good relationships and be psychologically balanced, we need to feel good about ourselves. We literally need to love ourselves.